Welcome to TwinFluence, the podcast. We're identical twins, business partners, and best friends. Every episode will bring you deeper into our lives and give you a behind-the-scenes look at our social media business, life as twinfluencers, and our unique twin relationship. Get ready to get raw and real. I'm Jacqueline.
And I'm Liana.
And this is TwinFluence, the podcast.
Welcome back to TwinFluence, the podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing something that Liana and I have actually been talking about so much, like in private. And today we thought, you know what, let's bring this into the podcast and let's open up this conversation.
COVID-19 has really impacted influencer marketing and our business in such a big way. And I think it's really just time that we break it down.
Yeah, I think that there's a huge shift happening. And I feel like so many people are seeing it and feeling it. And I'm sure we're not the only ones.
You know what it reminds me of? I remember even now, like whenever I'm watching any type of movie from like 10, 15 years ago, the things that people say and the things that people or how they talk or when they talk about race or they're talking about religion or they're talking about women or whatever it may be, I find that so many celebrities and shows and different things were able to get away with that stuff a lot more 10, 15 years ago. And I feel like now influencers and influencer marketing and social media is going through a similar transition. Certain things, certain posts, things you would talk about, how you would talk about them maybe 2-3 years ago, now post pandemic and 2020 and BLM and everything that's happened, you have to be so mindful and so careful and not tone deaf about the things that you're talking about, especially when you have an audience of impressionable followers.
100%. Like even for me, I'm so much more mindful now about the way that I post things and what I post, because I would never want to post something that would make someone feel bad. And even recently with what happened, I'm sure you guys have all seen this with Kim Kardashian a few weeks ago or last week, she posted that it was her 40th birthday and she flew all of her family and friends out and everybody had COVID tests and just really like was a real show of like, you know, her privilege and how she was really able to get everybody together and do this in a time where really people aren't seeing their families and people are going through a lot of loss and a lot of struggle. But the issue, I don't think like personally was that she did this. I think it was more that she shared it. You know, like it's one thing, we understand she's privileged. We know, we get it. The Kardashians, they have a lot of money. Fine. But I think it's another thing to show off like this and to bring it to social media and show everybody like, look at how amazing what I did for my birthday. And I think that that's where there needs to be a line now. You know, even if maybe she shared one photo and you know what I mean? And just was a little bit more humble about it. But you know, she said some line and she said like, I'm so humbly reminded of my privilege, but it was actually the exact opposite by showing off. It wasn't humble. It was really just like disturbing.
Obnoxious and tone deaf.
Yeah. And to tone deaf, to do that at a time like this. And I would have been so anxious. Like if I was her, worried about how I would have made people feel, like, I don't understand.
Absolutely. And you know what? This is the same thing when we look at influencers like Ariel Charnas, you know, that whole scandal that happened with her at the beginning of the pandemic. Same thing with Daniel Bernstein. I mean, Daniel Bernstein has a whole slew of different issues and, you know, stealing, you know, ideas and stealing designs from businesses and from people of color and just so many problematic issues. But in terms of COVID, she has also been facing a lot of like tone deaf stuff revolving it. And I want to kind of get into what happened with Ariel Charnas and what happened with Daniel Bernstein. So Ariel Charnas, first and foremost, if anybody's listening doesn't have any background on this or know what happened, Ariel Charnas, what was it, Jackie? So she contracted
COVID. It was like early on when things were just starting to get crazy and the news outlets were, you know, everyone was getting on board with what was going on, and she contracted it and she just didn't really act responsibly around the time of her getting it, the way that she showed going to get the test. And then she,
yeah, you know, I have to say that was probably, I remember seeing that she said she wasn't feeling well. And at that time she was still like going to her daughter's school, going out. And obviously the virus was still so new then, but the rules were just coming out that if you have coughing, fever, aches, or anything like that, you are required to stay home in quarantine. And she wasn't feeling well, but she still was going out and doing things, excuse me. And then I remember she went to get a test done for COVID.
Yeah. And she literally drove in her car and she brought like all of her Instagram followers along with her and she showed everybody. And it was just, there was no,
well, she showed, yeah, she showed that. Herself getting, she showed herself driving up, I think, to a hospital and somebody, a doctor that she's family friends with, because she, you know, she does have that privilege. And he came outside, he tested her directly in her car. And a few hours later or the next day, she said that she had contracted COVID-19. And then it just got worse and worse. She had said she had contracted it, but then she moved.
Yeah, we don't know the exact story. We don't want to give like the full deets.
I just know that whatever had happened there, I remember it was just, you couldn't stop hearing about Ariel Charnas. And people were so angry with what she was doing. And she had to, I guess, consult with her PR team and do a major overhaul.
And she has changed. Like she's one of the influencers where I have seen a massive massive shift. I look at her page now and I look at her content now and I go in her stories now, and you can tell the way that she says certain things. It's not as like, she's not as showing off as much anymore. It's more like real. It's more relatable. She's talking about real things. And, you know, there's been so much hate for her, and same thing with Danielle Bernstein. All these negative accounts have come up, and it's just wild to see.
Well, that's also Danielle Bernstein. It was a similar situation where she was going out to parties and saying that people were all tested prior, but then she ended up contracting it, and people just had no patience. They were so frustrated. Mm-hmm. They would see her on Instagram complaining and saying she wasn't feeling well and she had no energy that day to work out or whatever it was. But in reality, she was, you know, playing the victim, but she was the one going out. She wasn't the one taking proper precautions. And people are just sick and tired of this BS. And, you know, even for her, she has also somewhat, she still has a lot of work to do, in my opinion, and she's still problematic, but she has somewhat tried to evolve her content and change it in a way where she's a little bit more relatable.
She has definitely tried. Like, yeah, she's trying. On, yeah, she's definitely trying.
I'm not saying
trying.
She's doing it properly, and I know a lot of people. But I think that's also followers are, like, I just have to say, like, a lot of our followers, like, when I've talked about Danielle Bernstein's stories before, I've gotten so many messages from followers that have just said that they've, you know, given her like bad body issues because Danielle Bernstein is known to like to heavily edit her photos and just so many different things. And
I think it's also really sad though when you think about that too, because I think also on the other side of it is, of course, like, you know, we all have to be responsible for what we post, and you have to be mindful of, you know, your content and post things that are not tone deaf and, you know, all that stuff. But I think on the other side of it, it's important too to remember that these influencers are, they're people too. And of course there's like this whole, you know, like influencer culture and you know, influencers and the new celebrities. And I understand that, but there's really no reason, I think, for these influencers to act like they're any better than anybody. And I think there's no reason for, you know, us to be like, you know, certain people will be, I guess, meaner to influencers or more reactive to influencers. I just think at the end of the day, if you don't like what you see, you just shouldn't be negative. I agree that there's so much problematic behavior out there, and we're seeing so many influencers post things that, you know, it makes no sense. And it, with the timing of it, and, you know, it's hard to look at, but to sit around and then conspire about that influencer and start a negative page about that influencer and then write negative things, that's like even worse. The best thing you could do is just take a step back and be mindful of what you're consuming. If you see influencers advocating problematic behavior and things like that, of course it's important to speak up, but I think also it's important sometimes to just take a step back, be more aware of what you're letting into, you know, your space.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? There are influencers that I followed pre-pandemic, pre-2020 and all the craziness of 2020 that I absolutely loved. And I can't even look at their content anymore. Like, for example, I don't want to say the name of this influencer, but there is one specific influencer that I used to follow who is like very anti-mask. Like, she goes on rants and rants and rants on her stories about how she thinks people who wear masks are like bogus. And she just gets like so heated about it. And she's so obnoxious, and she's so not careful. And I find her personally so tone deaf about what she's getting across. She's entitled to her own opinions, but she has a big following, a lot of young impressionable followers. And now anytime I'll go and check her page or see anything from her, it like irritates me. Like, it literally, I see red. I can't even go look at her stuff anymore. And I try to stay away from it because it's just so.
Yeah. Because you know what, that's the thing. And like, Liana, you can't control how people feel, and you know, you're not going to go bully her or make some account to be mean to her. Like, you know what I'm saying? Where a lot of these accounts are popping up now.
Yeah. Right. Like, so what you're talking about, right? Like, what you're talking about is specifically, there are like two accounts that I know of that have, that are literally based on bashing Danielle Bernstein and showing her Photoshop photos and talking about how she's handled the pandemic. And even though those pages have accurate information, essentially it is a form of bullying. And I just, you know, obviously I'm not going to message this influencer. She will literally, when people message this specific influencer, the one I'm talking about, the one who's anti-mask and all that stuff, she will share people messaging her and saying, even in a nice way, like, hey, like, you have a lot of followers, maybe this isn't coming off right. And she will go into her stories and be like, you know, fuck this, fuck you, you're so this. Like, she's so aggressive and she's so hardcore about it that it's just like, you just have to step away. And the answer is not to message her and to attack her or to even try to reason with her. The answer is for me, or for anybody even listening, if there is an influencer that you are seeing that doesn't fall in line with the things that you believe in, that upsets you, that makes you feel bad about yourself, et cetera, et cetera, don't absorb their content. You know, even me and Jackie talk about it all the time. We try to be as honest and forthcoming and as real as we can.
Sorry, guys. My email. I turned it off. Sorry.
No problem. My emails have been going off like crazy. No, but the whole point is that, you know, Jackie and I talk about this all the time too. It's something that Jackie, you really taught me, because you're such a spiritual person. I feel like over the years, you know, you've really changed in terms of like telling me, you'll be like, you know, Liana, some people will love us and some people won't like us. And you're so at peace with that. And that's something that I've been working on. And I'll call Jackie sometimes, like I'll get a message from somebody, like, for example, me and Jackie, when the pandemic first started, we did not see each other for what was it like from end of February to beginning of May. So 3 months. And
yeah, we followed the rules and we stayed home.
Right. And then at the end of the pandemic, we decided it was a couple of days before a lot of the restrictions were released. We ended up seeing each other. And
yeah, we decided to go up to the cottage. And I did a story saying, like, you know, and I was so nervous to do that story. I remember thinking about
but
it.
But we wanted
saying,
to be honest.
Yeah. And I remember thinking before and saying to myself, you know, how am I going to say this? And I really want to make sure it comes across like in a responsible, like honest way where I'm, you know. So I remember getting on and saying, like, you know, like it's time for me to make decisions for myself. And I've been home for 3 months and I, you know, it's time for me to see my family. And, you know, we're not like traveling. We're just all going to quarantine together somewhere else. And at the time it made a lot of sense for us. We felt like it was the safest, best thing for our family.
Yeah, because the cottage is what, 40 minutes away?
Yeah, but also like we were just moving where we were like staying in quarantine. And so many people at that point had started like going out there again and seeing people again that I said, you know what, like, you know, we have to do something that's good for us. And I remember I posted it and for the most part, people were so kind and, you know, you got to do what's good for your family. But then on the other hand, there were a couple people that reached out saying really negative, nasty things about how, you know, I think I'm so much better than everybody else because I'm an influencer. And I just remember thinking like, this is the exact opposite of what I wanted this to be. I don't think I'm better. I think that we all have to now make decisions that are best for ourselves. But regardless if that person felt that way, I would have just rather them unfollowed me than sent me all this negative stuff about how they didn't approve, or they don't have to like me. They don't have to approve. And that's the beauty of social media, is that we all are allowed.
That's what you taught me. Yes.
Yeah. To look at, and you know, the beauty of the unfollow or the mute button, you know, if you don't want them to know that you've unfollowed them, you can mute them. It's an amazing feature.
You've definitely taught me though, like that, especially in this influencer world, like when we're working or whatever it is, you'll go to me and say, Liana, this is our job. And if you can't handle this, then we're not in the right industry. And obviously I love what we do. And I would never, you know, I wouldn't change it for anything.
I said that so many. Yeah. Because you have to be a really strong person to be able to do this. You have to be able to really be strong in your own values and in who you are. And at the end of the day, I know that my intention is never to make anybody feel bad. So if it comes off that way, you know, I'm sorry that that happened, but I'm not really going to digest it or spend my day worrying about it because
allow
I know
yourself to go.
Tension wasn't
I mean, I definitely think I'm getting better with that at this point now. I mean, it's just, it's like a common thing now. It's like if you know, influencers are being attacked on the regular basis, cancel culture is so prevalent right now.
Oh my
gosh.
Like what even happened to the Austries at the beginning? We didn't mention them when that photo of them hanging out during the pandemic.
Exactly. That's like another thing on top of like what happened to Ariel Turner or Daniel Bernstein or whatever. The Claudia Austries, so the Austries sisters, this is Girl With No Job. They have a podcast called The Morning Toast, right? It's called The Morning Toast.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a picture that they had shared. Like they have an amazing platform. And what they used to have a group called The Morning Toast on Facebook. There was over 60,000 community members. It was everything from The Bachelor.
Oh, I miss that group.
Oh, was it right? Well, so here's what happened to that group. So what happened was somebody on one of their social medias during the pandemic, they live in New York. So obviously like that's also like a very, that was an area that was heavily infected, a city that was really heavily infected. And they shared, it was somebody's birthday. They were all on a balcony together, not wearing masks, obviously not being like, you know, like the amount of feet apart you're supposed to be, not physically or socially distancing. And somebody in the group screenshotted it, put it in the group. And the comments, it was like, obviously it wasn't right. If they wanted to, if they did that, obviously it wasn't right to do that. But then to post it was obviously so silly.
Well, that's the thing. It's one thing. I was just thinking that's one thing that they got together if they hadn't seen each other in the while. And she said they were in the same building. They went to someone's balcony.
But that's what I'm saying. No,
but don't post it. Don't post it.
Yes, but they lied. That was what was crazy. They weren't all living in the same building. I think they said we all live in the same building. I feel like a lot of their real followers or their real fans have been following for a long time know that they don't live in the same building. And people were really, really angry. And there was so much hate and so many people attacking them that they had to close down the group. And they've changed a lot also about how they
Felt for them. I remember seeing that and having anxiety, like watching it and being like, this is making me nervous because just the level
they
got
on their stories.
Attacked.
Like Claudia, Girl With No Job, she got on her stories and she was like hysterically crying. And
it was because people like turned on them. It was like the followers all of a sudden turned, you know,
but
and it's people
that's
had been there for so long.
That's what we're talking about here, where it's like people
are changing their tune.
A year ago, people were obsessed with some, you could be obsessed with like a specific influencer, so somebody who loves Girl With No Job, but then seeing, you know, her do something that you're so against or that you think is harming, you know, other people during this pandemic or isn't safe, can make you not want to follow them anymore. And that's where cancel, oh my God, I can't talk today. Cancel culture, it's so prevalent. But you know what? It's not just in influencers that I'm seeing a shift. So like even brands that we're working with, like Jackie and I, you guys know what we do. We, you know, we have like a website coming out. We're doing like a whole lifestyle brand, but we also work with influencers. We pair brands with ourselves. We pair brands with other influencers. And even the brands that we're working with, everything, all the, like everything that we used to deal with these brands and influencers, it was all super transaction based. It was all, you know, hey, here's the mandate. Here's what the influencers need to do. Yada, 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 yada. Where now
it's influencer marketing.
It's so much more relationship based. So now brands are significantly loosening their control over the content. They're giving influencers so much more leeway on their messaging. And I think that that's amazing because, you know, I'll get an item or I'll get a collaboration deal or whatever it is. And I don't want to do it exactly how the brand tells me to do it. I want to do it in a way that's authentic, in a way that I'm using the product or in a way that my audience will, you know, be inspired by it. And I think that is the positive. I like that brands are lessening their control over.
I think they have to, because I think that also on the other end of it, like regardless of COVID, you know, people can read right through the ads. And I think, you know, even for us with all the partnerships we do now and all the collaborations we agree to, and then the products that we're going to, you know, team up with for the website as affiliates, it all has to make sense. And it all really needs to be something that I actually authentically use. And I mean, it always was. At the end of the day, we've never taken on a partnership or a brand that we don't completely stand behind, but now more than ever, I'm just way more mindful. Like there's certain things that I've said no to. Just because I'm like, you know what? I don't think it's the right time to push this, even though I would love to do this and I love this product right now. It doesn't feel right. And I never normally would do that.
I also think in this, like, you know, within this pandemic with what's going on, people are spending a lot more time online. People are buying a lot more online. So in that way, influencer marketing is actually booming because of the fact that so many people are making their purchasing decisions online. Like I know for us, like we've seen a massive spike in, you know, online sales and swipe ups and calls to action like that, because of how many more people are watching our stories, because of how many more people are online. You know, it's difficult to push merchandise and to push sales in this economy, can be difficult, but that is where I think social media is a positive, because I know that a lot of brands and businesses that maybe weren't surviving before, they have, like a few of my clients have changed their businesses to be totally e-commerce.
Well, I was just going to say that, like,
and they're successful in that.
Well, where I've seen a really big shift also is, which you guys will see obviously when we share all of our new services, but there's a lot more people that are coming to me now for consulting more than ever before, because I think that there's a shift now where people are going into business on their own. They're taking the plunge. They're, you know, it's the time is now. I have so many small businesses I've been doing consulting calls with, and so many people want to be influencers and people that are finally ready to do this and to take the plunge and, you know, to start the small business. And like, I just feel like there's been a really big shift in that, where instead of they're coming to us to say, you know what, we want to spend
the page
a huge amount for this, you know, my business is affected, and they want something more on a consulting basis. And I noticed that things have changed so much, and it's amazing to see and to connect with so many people and see that they're finally starting their, you know, their small businesses and taking
for sure. But don't you think also that, you know, Jackie and I talk about this all the time. We have different clients that we work with. Some of them, we run their pages, we run their full accounts from start to finish. And then we have other clients that
not as much any, well, let's
be consult with them. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we consult with them. We offer other services. And what Jackie and I have noticed is there's so many different ways to hire social media companies to manage your Instagram or to help you with social media. But if you own a company, really the best person to manage your social media is you. So we want to enable businesses, brands, people with the tools to manage their own social media.
And I do that. So I cannot tell you guys how many people have called me in the last 2 months that have said, like, I need help, my business, and what can I do? Can I bring you on for services? Can you run my page? And I've said, no, you can't bring me on to run your page, but you can bring me on to train you. And I've done, like, I did 4 or 5 sessions with this one girl. She has her own like company. And oh my gosh, I was able to give her so much information. Now she's been running it all on her own. And
oh, I know what you're, she's killing it. Yeah.
How good is her page? Like, I feel like it's
You did a great job.
To give the people the tools is, I think, also where our business has shifted as well. Instead of us saying, let's do it for you, we give them the tools
Let
to
us
do
help
it
you do it.
And it's so much more better. It's such a, I found that it's been so rewarding. I feel like every conversation I've had, we've even been doing some mentoring where we'll mentor, I know we've been doing some mentoring for some young girls, and we're hoping to offer more of this on our website when we officially launch, but we do mentoring now for people that, you know, don't have the budget to hire someone or even hire someone someone for consulting for the hour. You know, if you guys are looking and, you know, for some social media help and you don't have the budget and you want to be part of our mentorship program, that's something we offer too. And we'll talk a lot more about that soon online, but I think it's great that we're connecting with so many people in the community and helping them launch their businesses online.
Definitely. And like, again, like what we were saying before, I just think that, you know, it's scary out there. Like, there's so many memes going on. Like, I saw a meme yesterday. I think I sent it to you, or was it a couple of days ago, where it was like, how I know, like how I sleep knowing that I'm an influencer who doesn't wear, what was it? Who's planning like a huge Halloween party, or who's planning huge parties.
Oh, I saw that.
Who doesn't care. Or like, there's literally memes out there.
Yeah. Everyone's, and I think it's hard
because, influencers.
Yeah. And people
like,
are
you
really
know what I'm talking about. Have yes. you seen like there's reels?
I know
where, like,
exactly what you're
pages,
talking about,
but they'll yeah. be like, it'll be like how an influencer acts in the morning. And it's like bashing and insulting. And it's hard because Jackie and I know we're in this influencer world. Our new business is called Twinfluence because we're twins and we influence, and that's the brand and that's what we're doing. But really, we're trying so hard to be mindful. We you know, we're so open with you guys. Last week, I had a rough week. Me and Jackie are working our fucking asses off behind yeah. the scenes on this website. We are a two people show. Yes, we have some people working for us and we have some help, but really Jackie and I are like the brains and everything behind our business. And it's always been that way. And you know, even when we've given people and we've brought them on for more work, Jackie and I like to oversee everything.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm like, I just
our baby.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, yeah. and I just feel like
I just think at the end
out.
Of the day,
wait,
I think
wait, I just wanted to finish this. What I was saying was, I totally want to hear what you want to say, but I just want to get this out. I was stressed out last week, and I was stressed out with everything. And instead of taking a few days off of social media or whatever, I got on my stories and I was like, guys, like I'm having like a fucking hard day. I just forced myself to work out. Like I'm home alone with Capri today. I'm exhausted that I have to do this and the brand and the website. And I was so, you know, just stressed out. And the response I got from people was amazing and so overwhelming. Like people saying, thank you so much for sharing this with us. And thank you so much for being real. And like, that's what we want to bring more to. Are we going to share the highs? Of course, we're going to share the highs. Are we going to share the exciting things? Of course, we're going to share the exciting things. Are we going to share the pair of high-waisted shorts that hides a postpartum belly? Of course, we're going to share that.
But share
we also
other stuff
want to
too.
Share things that are yeah. so valuable and meaningful and just so real. And I'm done with super curated posts, super curated content, just all that stuff. Like, what were you saying the other day about how influence marketing used to be about the perfect picture? I thought it
yeah,
was
it's so like
interesting.
We never learned this in school, you know, and we were taught a certain way. You have to post a picture, it has to have a certain look, and this is how to make it in the influencer game. You know what I mean? It's like we never learned this in school. We learned all this by what we saw online and what we learned from our peers and the people in the industry of how we had to get into this business, and how it's about the perfect picture and this and that. But that's not the case anymore. Like there's so many people that are doing this now that have their own voices. It doesn't have to be done a specific way. You don't have to like, here's the path to becoming an influencer creator.
Right.
You
it's not like that.
You have
right.
to have that. You have right. to have a nice picture. It's not like that at all anymore. The whole game
has
changed.
Provide, right. You have to provide your community.
Real. But you community? Also have to be brave. Let me say this. You have to be brave because this is not, you're not like, I'm going to be an influencer. It's going to be great. I'm just going to show off my outfits. That's going to get you nowhere. It's all about sharing things that are really hard to share. That's how you grow on Instagram.
100%.
And if you're going to do this and actually be an influencer, I think now more than ever, we're going to see who the real people that like are really doing this to serve their community versus the people that are in this like for the free stuff and the money. Because the people that I feel like that are in the influencing game for the free stuff and for the money and the fame and all that stuff, it's going to get really just boring, really
fast. It's
going to
get old fast.
Old yeah. fast because, you know what I mean? There's so much, you know, free clothes. It's an empty hole. But if you're doing this because you genuinely care about humanity and you
and
want
your community.
To serve, If I was an influencer, I would be like working like as a humanitarian or something. Like I feel like we were meant to help
that.
People. And how we do it is through our Instagrams. You know what I'm saying?
So, I love that. Yes.
You know?
And you know, 100%. I love what you just said. Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, we work with a lot of different influencers. Like I said before, we team up influencers with brands. And one thing I noticed too, is that if you are listening to this and you want, you know, I get messages from girls all the time saying, you know, I want to start a blog. I want to be an influencer. How do I get into this game? Let me tell you something. Here's what I've learned about this. There are influencers that we work with that have hundreds of thousands of followers and influencers that we work with that have tens of thousands of followers. And let me tell you something, it doesn't matter how many followers you have. It matters that the people that are following you are engaged in your in what you're saying. Your community is engaged in what you're saying. So for example, we work with influencers sometimes who they don't have, like they may have a lot of followers, but their community is not as engaged with them anymore. They're not as excited about the content they're putting out. They don't feel inspired by that content. And the results speak for themselves. We don't get as much sales from that influencer. There's not as much swipe
yeah,
up.
It can even
it
be
is.
Like, we know we worked with like some actual more famous people and we've had lower returns on
that's
them
what I'm saying, right?
Local
and then,
people that have been great.
Local, there are local people or people that have smaller audiences and smaller followings, but their audiences and their followings and their communities are so engaged. And you know what? Really, at the end of the day, how to break it down in this whole podcast, really what we're talking about here, and just to sum it up in a couple of lines, is that influencer marketing used to be favorable to influencers and creators that have a big audience. And now it's shifted to creators who are able to build a loyal audience. And we, Jackie and I, are trying so hard to be, you know, not that we ever really hold anything back, but we just always want to be as open and as honest with you guys. And, you know, we've both changed so much. I've learned so much in the past 6 months about everything.
Having a baby and going through a pandemic will definitely do that for you.
Oh, I thought there was, okay, good. I thought that, what?
Having a baby and going through a pandemic will definitely do that for you.
Oh yeah. Sorry. When you said, oh, I was like, oh God, I thought there was
a no, I love you today. We're having a good day.
Yeah. All right. So really that's just what we wanted to say. I want to keep this conversation going on Instagram. I want to do a Q&A about this. I want to talk more about this.
Yeah, and any, you know,
for you guys.
Yeah. Any questions you guys have, and thank you again for all your support. And, you know, we're here for you guys. We're going to keep bringing you content that's mindful.
And we're going to keep learning. We're going to keep growing. Yeah. We are going to share content in the best way we know how, and just keep it real with you as always.
Yeah. We love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.